Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
All right. Bismillah. We are live now. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Want to welcome everybody back to the hangout and welcome ourselves back to the hangout. So for folks who, you know, regularly tune in and listen and watch and whatnot, who might be wondering exactly what happened. So at the end of December, it was the winter break. So, you know, people off from work and off from school and whatnot. So we typically try not to do the live programs during that time, just, you know, because people are all kind of preoccupied with family and whatnot. So we didn't have it for, I think, a week or two because of the winter break. But then we ordinarily about a month ago, at least maybe not 5 weeks ago, we would have reconvened in the first week of January. I had some personal circumstances and obligations and things like that that were keeping me very preoccupied. And I apologize for that. And, you know, as Mufti Kamani can attest to, we try not to take our responsibilities and obligations to the knowledge and the work that we do. We take it very, very seriously and we prioritize it. So if it literally wasn't severe enough of a situation to preoccupy me, I wouldn't have just put aside the obligations here. So I had to kind of take some time away to sort things out. It was family health related issues, nothing, you know, no kind of crazy stories. Don't worry, you won't find me in the newspaper or something like that. It's nothing like that. It's just family health stuff, you know. Our elders, they get older, they get sick, and they need to be taken care of, and we need to serve them. So I was just prioritizing, you know, serving parents and things like that. But alhamdulillah, now that it's been a little bit of time and we've been able to work out some kind of a schedule where we can kind of, me and my siblings, we can take turns and things like that. So we thought we'd get the programs back on track. So here we are, alhamdulillah, with the Qalam Hangout, once again on a Thursday afternoon. You know, here in Dallas, Texas, it's a very cold, chilly Thursday afternoon. But that's why Mufti Kamani is indoors and not outdoors.
I'm just thinking I need to crank the heat up even more. I feel cold in my fingers.
It's cold. Like, so the little office library room that I have where I teach the classes from and whatnot, it's like almost like this kind of extra room that was built upstairs, like on top of the garage. Yeah. So it's a little more exposed, like from three sides, and it's got a little less, I think, insulation and stuff. And man, it's so cold in here. I've had this little kind of electric heater plugged in here, right, like under my desk, which is probably not really safe to do, but I got it right there in my feet. I can't feel my feet. It's they're so cold. I went ahead and put Ustad on the live stream before he told me to, because just so everyone could see the what did they call it, Ustad? BTS behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes, dude.
That's it. Look at that.
One night on Clubhouse and Sheikh knows all the names now.
We crashed Clubhouse. Did you hear?
I heard.
Oh yeah, I kept trying to add you to the whatever it's called, the panel, the stage, whatever. And I clicked it like 30 times and it would keep giving me a red banner. Adil, who's our very good friend from Ottawa, said something very interesting right now in the comment section. Mufti Kamani and I were discussing how cold it is today, and he said, did someone say cold? Because he's from Ottawa.
I mean, I didn't choose for you to live there.
Neither do I make dua for you to live there.
I checked, none of us checked. Mufti Saab, did you move again?
Did you move?
What do you mean?
Like the setting.
Your setup is different.
You have a really good eye. I did move. They were really good. I respect that. I moved from that corner of the room to this corner of the room. That's why.
That room is shaped like an octagon. There's so many corners.
He had it designed as an octagon. That's his love for jiu-jitsu.
But if you look at it from above, it looks like a Star of David.
What's really interesting is Mufti Kamani is that person. There's a particular kind of like person, okay, who needs to kind of hey, hello, Captain America.
Welcome.
Mr. Musa. So,
you have to leave. I just have to close the door.
He said, close the door. He's like, all right, fine, I'll leave. Mufti Kamani, we just learned something about Mufti Kamani. You know, there's some people who have to kind of like change things up every now and then. Mufti Kamani is one of those people who needs to kind of change things up every now and then.
I'm telling you to close the door. I
can relate. I'm not that kind of a person. Actually, I like things being where they are.
Was my wife literally walked in when she heard you say that. She's like, yes, that's exactly what she's standing right there and she's laughing. Nicholas, this is what you're doing to my house.
So I was going to say I can relate because my wife is that person. Sometimes I'm teaching class upstairs. I come down and I don't recognize my living room. I'm like, what happened? Why did everything move? I don't know. We just felt like changing it up. So that's awesome. Captain America.
Yeah, I'm trying to teach him guys just like propaganda and stuff, but
propaganda. What's wrong with the?
What? Who are you wearing today?
Captain America.
That's right. America?
And what does he do? Does he save the world?
Awesome. That's what he does. He's awesome.
Is he awesome? Is he strong?
Yeah.
Show us your muscles. Oh.
Subhanallah.
Oh, show us the Kalani. What are you doing? No, not my iPad.
No, I'm trying.
This is mine. You're typing in Mama's password. That's the wrong one. You don't know my password. That's Mama's. See?
I want that one.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Are you going to go have snack time now?
No.
Okay.
I was just welcoming ourselves and welcoming everybody back to the hangout. So alhamdulillah, we're happy to be back. It's good to be back. And Mufti Kamani, Ustad Abdurrahman, and I, we were talking, you know, we were discussing about what to discuss in the hangout today. You know, sometimes we're just, you know, fine just kind of hanging out, but at the same time, obviously people are tuning in and listening, so we figured we should have some kind of a topic of discussion. So Mufti Kamani presented a really, really beautiful idea that's very relatable, I think, for a lot of people. I was preoccupied, and that's why the hangout was a little bit on pause, on hold. I definitely could relate to what Mufti Kamani was talking about, the point that he made, and that topic is the importance of being there for one another. As in family, in community, in society, as an ummah, the importance of being there for one another, for each other. And then also a discussion about once you've been a beneficiary, you've benefited from this powerful idea in our religion of being there for each other, then how do you reciprocate that? You know, what do you do when you are filled with this sense of humility and gratitude for people being there for you and, you know, looking out for you and caring for you? What do you do now to kind of, so to speak, either, you know, not necessarily pay it back, but maybe pay it forward? You know, what's exactly the right attitude? So we want to talk about both things. And number one is like, you know, why is it important to be there for one another? And then what do you do exactly once, you know, that is happening and you are benefiting from that, then what is upon you?
Maybe we can start off by asking a question. I'm going to pose it at Ustad Murphy, but if, Sheikh, if you want to jump in. Ustad Murphy, what's an example of someone coming through for you in your life at a time where you really needed it? What did that mean to you?
Sheikh Mubin at Hajj, and you're really hungry and he brings you KFC zingers and the flattest Pepsi you've ever had in your life. That Pepsi is so flat you could use it as a level for hanging pictures. All jokes aside, I mean, you know, I think most of the time I'm not cognizant of how important that moment is until like long after. Usually like I'm caught up in the moment. So like it might be a week or 2 weeks later that I start to realize like, wow, that was really, really important. Actually recently, you know, my wife wasn't feeling very well and one of her friends found out. And so she sent dinner without us knowing. And that dinner actually like lasted for, I would say 3-4 meals, like just the buttock of that food. You know, there was like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And we ate it consistently for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I just realized that person, like they didn't have to do that, right? They didn't have to like be aware. And so it's not like necessarily a big moment, but it's like when people are aware of even the small moments that you're in need. And when you have two kids and the weather's bad and, you know, your spouse is sick or not feeling well, and it's kind of like one of those things, that person just, when they step out and they, you know, they do what's needed to be done without asking you. You know, they don't come over and say like, hey, do you want this? They just say, hey, let me know what you want. I'll do it for you. Those moments tend to be the most meaningful for me. I mean, they're obviously when you have the large moments, almost like the crisis situations, those are obviously also very helpful. But I'm really appreciative when people can be, you know, even the small things, just they know that, you know, for example, that your son's not feeling well. And so they send some cookies, some Tish treats or something over, you know, like just those small things mean a ton to me personally, because they add up. They add up so much. How about you?
I think you laid it out very well, that there are some times in your life where someone comes through and it's critical, where without that moment, you don't know which direction your life would be in. I have a lot of those moments. But there are also a lot of those other moments that you're talking about that are small in terms of their volume, but they're so impactful. Mm. And I also agree with you that, yes, it's true that I always think of the people who did that big thing for me. When I was getting a home, I needed some money for a down payment, and there was a very close friend who came through. You know, and that was a very important moment for me in my life, where that person helped out and they assisted me. And for that person, it wasn't much, but for me, it was. It really set my life on a different trajectory, financially speaking. That one moment was a very special moment. But that's on one side. On the other hand, there are like so many examples of people who, like that Tiff Streets thing that you mentioned right now. For those of you that are not familiar, Tiff Streets is like this place in Dallas that does these cookies and kids love them. I don't get it, to be honest with you. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get the hype at all. But the kids love them.
So now everyone who's watching who sent Mufti Kamani Tiff Streets is going to be like, oh.
They don't send it for me. They send it for my kids. Hopefully,
that's good.
So the other day, someone sent a Tiff Streets little cabbie that it comes in.
Yeah,
and cookies, and it had ice cream, and it had milk separately. And it's a small little bottle of milk that costs like $4 if you buy it from Tiff Streets, and if you buy that gallon from Walgreens, it's like $2 or $3. That's the name inside of me speaking. That's always putting a number to everything. But in reality, for that person, it's not so much of a number as much as it is packaging it all together so it comes together. I was with my sister yesterday, and some of you know she hasn't been doing well lately. And, you know, alhamdulillah, she's slowly improving, long way to go, but yesterday was the first time we actually had a conversation in weeks. Like I sat in front of her on her bed and we talked, and she was in tears the entire time. And she kept saying that, how do I handle this overwhelming feeling that I'm experiencing right now of all the love that everyone is pouring out to me?
Yeah. You know,
all the love that everyone's giving. And I think that's the second part of the discussion for today. But that first part, I think it also is reflective in this conversation, which is that those people that are sending that food, who are going out of their way or sending a gift or maybe giving the child a ride to school or maybe volunteering to help out with, I don't know, doing some groceries or running an errand or something in someone else's moment of difficulty, they're relieving that person of a burden, a strain, a responsibility, and they're also kind of telling them that we are here for you. We're here as a team. You're not going through this alone. And it really brings forward the, is that Dr. Altaf?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Dr. Anyway. Altaf, mashallah, has taken a break from his busy fundraising schedule to comment on Mufti Kamani's.
Mufti Kamani's dismissing of cookies.
Well, I love DoubleTree cookies. I'll tell you that.
Ustad makes a mean batch, mashallah.
When that DoubleTree chef got angry and quit and released the secret recipe online, he changed.
Is my that life. What happened?
No, I just made that up. But he did. There was a chef that released it. He changed my life. Mm-hmm. I made you offer him every day. Changed my life.
But you know that being there to support one another and being there for one another in times of difficulty, in order that we have a word for this, we call it apnayat, where you feel like you are with people, that the people aren't outside of you, they're with you, they're in that team with you, they're there to support you. And when you do a kind gesture, when you show love, when you extend some love to someone, you just don't know what they're going through and what they're experiencing in that moment. And you're one act of kindness can really change the trajectory of that person and how they handle that situation. The second thing is, so that's one of the human sort of interaction with that. But there's also a second element of being there for people when they're struggling, which is like the reward and the Islamic benefits that are mentioned in the Quran and the akhirah that a person builds through doing good deeds. And in the prophetic example, the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees someone and he gives them something. Mm-hmm. I always think of this one narration, and if Sheikh Al-Nasir feels comfortable, maybe he can share it. It's the riwayah where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that he was hungry. And then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu passed by, and then Umar radiallahu, you know that, you know which one I'm talking about, Sheikh?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to share it? Yeah, it's just, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completes the Isha prayer, and then he turns around to leave the masjid, and he sees Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu sitting right at the entrance of the masjid, just kind of sitting there hunched over. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at him and he smiles. And he walks up to Abu Huraira and he says, "You're hungry, aren't you?" And he holds his belly and says, "Yes, O Messenger of Allah, I'm very hungry." And then he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I've been sitting here. Abu Bakr walked by, I said salam to him, got his attention. He said, walaikum salam, and he kept walking." And then Umar and the Prophet, you know, and you know, the scholars explained that's because they themselves didn't have anything to eat at home.
SubhanAllah.
It's just a tough situation for everybody. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes his hunger. So he says, "Come with me, let's go home. I don't know if I have anything at home or not, but we'll figure it out together. I haven't eaten, you haven't eaten. Let's go figure it out together." They go home and he asks the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Do we have anything?" And she said, "Somebody sent a bowl of milk." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then tells Abu Huraira, he goes, "Go get all your friends from the masjid who are hungry as well." And you got to do what you're told. It's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Huraira says, "I go to go get them." But he goes, "I'm kind of like, I got this knot in my stomach. Like, you know, my heart has just sank because I realize if I go get everyone, then he's going to tell me to serve all of them and one bowl of milk. And like all these people, it's not even going to show." And so he says, "I bring everyone," following the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everybody comes in. And the Prophet ﷺ says, Bismillah, makes dua for barakah. And he tells Abu Huraira, start passing the bowl of milk around to everyone, let everyone drink. And everyone drinks to their fill. And he says, miraculously, the level of the milk does not decrease.
Hmm.
And when everyone is served and everyone is dismissed, the Prophet ﷺ gives the bowl to Abu Huraira and he says, drink now, friend.
Hmm.
And he drinks and drinks and drinks. And he says, okay, I'm done. He goes, no, drink more. And he drinks and drinks and drinks. And then he says, okay, I'm done. He says, no, drink more. And he drinks and drinks and drinks. And then he says, I'm done. And Prophet ﷺ says, drink more. And he goes, Ya Rasul, there's nowhere for the milk to go. and then the Prophet ﷺ, him and his family drink the remainder of the milk. But yeah, that's the story that Mufti Ghani was referencing.
You know, it's interesting that many ulama actually quote this, cite this hadith under the chapter of isti'adhan as well.
Mm.
Isti'adhan is to seek permission, because Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had permission to be in the home of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then went and came back.
Mm.
And the second time he entered the home was without permission. So they actually, they kind of cite that as a masala. But so here's another thing, Sheikh. So when you look at this riwayah, doesn't it strike you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was observant to the point he noticed Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's hunger without Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu having anything to see? What does that speak about? What does that say about how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was and what kind of person he was?
Absolutely. And that's really, really remarkable. You know, this is one of the lessons that, you know, we learn from our teachers and our elders. My dad was always really particular about this, the whole idea of the zakat of a community is distributed within that community. Mm-hmm. That's the ideal that's stated in hadith, تُخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَاءٍ وَتُوَدُّ إِلَىٰ فُقَرَائِهِمْ. And all the classical books of fiqh state that as well, that you take from the wealthy of a community and give to those who are in need within that community. So he was always very passionate and particular about it. And one question that often comes up is like, well, how do you know who is eligible to receive the zakat? You have to be paying attention to that all year long. You have to be keeping up with the community, know what's going on with the people, keep your ear to the ground, know when people need help and people are in trouble and people are dealing with circumstances. And if you do that, you never are hard-pressed to find somebody who is in need of zakat.
Mm.
Never, never. Immediately, as soon as some zakat funds come, you can disperse it literally within minutes. And so that's that prophetic quality of knowing what's going on with her people. There's a narration in the Shama'il, yafqudu ashabahu, right? That the Prophet ﷺ would notice if somebody had not showed up today.
Hmm.
He'd notice because he was always paying attention, right? What's going on with everybody. And this is a man who literally, not figuratively, literally carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders.
SubhanAllah. Right?
And yet he has that care, that consideration, that thoughtfulness, that observation to be paying attention to his community and his congregants and his people and his family and his friends and his neighbors and be able to know what's going on. Not in a nosy kind of way, but in a helpful way.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, in our world, I'm guilty of this first and foremost. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I get so caught up with the me that I stop looking at other people.
Mm.
Because I have so many responsibilities in my life. I have exams. I have, you know, I have work. I have family. I have the masjid. And, you know, I give that exams example because a lot of college folks are like, I got papers to write. I got, you know, exams to go through. And there's so much emphasis on this right here that we don't stop and look around the people around us.
Mm.
And there are these people, subhanAllah, who, even though they are in need, I mean, you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we go back to that riwayah that Sheikh Abdul Nasir just shared right now, Aisha radiallahu anha, what does she offer? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is there any food? And she mentions in that riwayah that we only have milk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had only a bowl of milk and someone in the Ustad Murphy came over and said to me, hey, what do you got? The chances are I probably wouldn't even mention the milk. Or if I did, I would say, hey, I got milk, but I got to keep it for tomorrow's breakfast. Kids got to have breakfast before they go to school tomorrow or when they wake up in the morning. They got. But first of all, so right there you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his family needs it, but he puts other people in front of him. Mm-hmm. And it kind of shows how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was actively seeking to be a part of the lives of people in a very meaningful way.
Yeah.
Not just through dars, not just through lectures, not just through, you know, parties, but really like on an intimate personal level. And then the second thing is that there isn't any like shame in being humble in what you can offer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's another thing, right? Like, I notice this in the communities that if someone's going to send food to someone, or like, for example, I'm going to invite my friends over, that means I have to do steaks every time.
Mm.
Or if I have friends coming over, I got to do biryani every time. And with biryani, there has to be raita. And with raita, there has to be some salad for people who don't want to eat rice. And then there has to be some roti that goes with it too. I remember when we were students in madrasa, our teachers would invite us sometimes, and they would literally offer us, and this is not in a belittling way, more of a simplicity, statement of simplicity, they would offer us dal chawal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You missed it, didn't you? You missed it. But I'll tell you this. Before you came, Sheikh was sitting here waiting for us, and he fell asleep with the camera on. It was a golden moment. I ran to grab my tablet, and I think it was something that caught Sheikh's eye, and he woke up. And I missed it. I will regret this day forever.
He wasn't sleeping. He was in deep fikr. Deep
fikr. Ummatki fikr. Oh, man. But no, what you were talking about, Mufti Kamani, is the simplicity of it. That's such a beautiful point. That's such a beautiful point that somebody, like, imagine, right? Like, Ustad comes over to my place, and I'm kind of like, hey, you hungry? Want a bite? And he goes, yeah. And then I just kind of go open the fridge, pull out some bread, pull out the peanut butter and jelly, and make some peanut butter jelly sandwiches. And what Mufti Kamani is saying is that, yeah, Ustad's super happy right now. He just got hungry when I said that.
Like, I'm like, what did I do to deserve this honor? Peanut butter and jelly.
But, you know, what Mufti Kamani is saying is very valid, that there's a weird kind of formality that we create in the community where doing that would like almost be like insulting. It'd be like an insult, a humiliation. Why? Why is that got to be such a problem? Yeah. You know, of course, there's, and I was going to say that, Mufti Kamani, what you were talking about before as well, there's multiple layers to things, right? So, you know, the Prophet is sacrificing the needs and even the necessities of his own, himself and his family, to help others. For us, that's not even necessary, right? When Mufti Kamani was talking about before, you send over a little bit of food to somebody's house, or you call somebody, or you say, let me pick up your groceries and drop it off, or, you know, let me run an errand for you or something like that. That's not even creating some kind of, you know, huge sacrifice in my life. It's just, you know, it's sometimes not even an inconvenience, right? But for us not to be able to even do that, when the Prophet ﷺ was willing to sacrifice need and necessity to help other people, really should make us reflect and think about the different levels. And then with this thing that you said, Mufti Sahib, and that is, there's a level of like, yeah, of course, do ihsan, try to be generous and gracious. But that doesn't take away from the fact that even something simple is still something very powerful. And it's still something very meaningful. Right, that for something to be meaningful, it doesn't need to be fancy and elaborate. Something very simple can be very, very meaningful. And you know, you were talking about the cookies thing. And you know, sometimes when you go through a little bit of a rough patch, you have like some difficulty, it makes you learn a lot of lessons, and it makes you realize a lot of things. One of the things that I didn't fully comprehend the scope of is that, okay, there's some kind of difficulty and adversity, some kind of challenge I'm, you know, of course the whole family's dealing with, but it's mostly on me, right? And I'm having to deal with this. I didn't realize it at first. I realized it like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks into it, that because of how preoccupied I am with it, and even just kind of the toll that it takes on me, there's an impact and effect of that upon the people around me. Mm. And, you know, when those cookies showed up on the front door, somebody, you know, when the friends sent them to our house, and, you know, doorbell rings, the delivery person drops it off and leaves. And when they showed up at the door, and I kind of told one of my kids, I'm like, who's at the door? And he said, I don't know, it looks like somebody just dropped off something. So when they opened it and they saw that it was like a box of cookies, they were so happy.
Oh, goodness. Eat.
Yeah, they were so happy. And I didn't fully understand when I saw them in that moment, I realized my burden had also been weighing them down over the last couple of days. And I had not seen them that excited and, you know, giddy about something for a number of days now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very powerful reminder. Ustad, mashallah, you know, he had sent over some food. And mashallah, credit to him. The food, when I opened up the food, it was actually more to my wife's liking than my liking. It was like a lot of chicken and salad and stuff. It wasn't like a lot of rice and beef.
I got some rice.
It's all right, Habibi. It's okay.
I got some rice.
It's all right. All right.
It was uncooked, though. The rice was uncooked.
So it was honestly, like, I appreciated it because, you know, I realized that, you know, obviously, you know, my wife is also dealing with it as one, you know, by extension, but because of how it weighs on me, it kind of, you know, there's an extra bit of impact and effect on her. And some nice food showing up where she doesn't have to cook and clean, doesn't have to do nothing. And it's actually to her liking, you know, I just found like these little things and the thought that went into it. Sending over a box of chocolate chip cookies to my house for me is a terrible idea. All right.
Well, I was going to say, it's good that your kids opened the door, because if you opened it, they wouldn't have gotten it.
They wouldn't have seen them, right? I would have eaten them at the door. Turn around, there's crumbs everywhere.
The ghost of cookies passed.
Who was at the door? Nobody was at the door.
I feel like it was one of those cookie salespeople. They gave me a sample.
So sending me a box of cookies is a terrible idea in the sense of I'm old and, you know, I could get in better shape. But subhanAllah, those people were thinking of my kids. So it's almost like, you know, kind of like putting a little bit of thought. And then it's a simple gesture. It's a $10 gesture. It's a $12 gesture, whatever. But it's the thought that counts, right? That's why that's such a powerful statement.
One of the things that's also really, really cool about this is, like, you know, this is one of the things that the Prophet ﷺ says is one of the most beloved deeds to Allah, is to enter your brother or sister into a state of happiness, to give them something to be happy about.
That's beautiful.
And the crazy thing, subhanAllah, that I've realized is, like, it's a really, in a good way, it's a very addictive thing to develop. Like, you do it once and you do it again and you do it again. Like, you basically, it's so easy now with Grubhub and all these apps. It's very easy for a person to, you know, and with COVID, going over to someone's house may not always be possible, but, you know, sending food, sending gifts, sending, you know, sweets. It's so easy, you know, and it's just a matter of being a little bit generous. And the initial sting is kind of annoying. The initial sting of, like, well, it's $40. You know, I'm paying $6 to deliver it. Is that worth it? Should I just text them and send them a get well card? But once you do it once, you realize, man, subhanAllah, you know, like, this is so easy and it brought them so much happiness.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I should do regularly. You know, if somebody's sick, if somebody's not feeling well, if somebody's going through a difficult time, I should make it a point to be the first person that sends them food or goes and drops it off at their door. That was one thing that I was mentioning. The other thing that I was going to say was that, you know, this is the one of the benefits of being part of the Ummah, man. You know, like, the reality is that when you're part of a community, these are the things that happen that if you don't feel blessed to be part of an Ummah, like the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this is something that will remind you the blessing that you have. People who, like, you're not even related to them. They're not your family. Like, they have no blood responsibility to do any of this. But they are cooking for you in their kitchen. You know what I mean? And my mother, man, may Allah bless our parents, man, subhanAllah. My mother, when she did this, she would cook better food for people than us at home. Like, we would have like the equivalent of dal chawal, basically like rice and beans. And she would make, like, you know, kofta and, like, chicken and, like, all for the people. And that was something that I saw every week, month of my life growing up, my mom doing that. And I, from a very early age, I realized, subhanAllah, the value of being part of the ummah. That, you know, I would ask my mom, who are you cooking for? And she would say a name and I wouldn't even know who she was talking about. So just kind of like realizing that, and that's one of the ways in which, you know, we build bonds with each other. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to accept that, inshallah. What do you do, guys? Question, what do you do if you are desperately looking for a way to do this for somebody or help somebody, but they're not willing to receive it? Like maybe they're in a tough spot. Maybe the tragedy or the crisis is too fresh, or it's just very real for them, and they're unable to sort of open up. They're not being very approachable, right? What would you say?
One thing that I would say is that always remember when someone else is going through difficulty, don't make it about yourself. Like if the intention is to be there for them, then let it be about them and be there for them. That's all it is. It's so easy. I notice this a lot, that when someone's going through a tough time, like, okay, so let's say, for example, Ustad Murphy, I'll use him as an example, right? Ustad Murphy is going through something, you know, some health issue, or Allah protect, but, you know, some issue, okay? Now, he has to deal with that issue, but then he has to deal with 10 different egos in the room who are all around them, and they have their different expectations of how he should respond to them during that time in that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And that makes the issue so much more difficult. So if you want to be there for someone, the first thing I would say is drop all expectations and just let them know I'm here for you. Take initiative. Sometimes, like, for example, Seth Murphy may not be open to asking for help, so I should offer it. And then on top of that, maybe even go a little further. Say, I'm sending it. Because sometimes they'll say no out of formality. I'm sending it.
You know?
My advice to the person on the other end is don't say no to someone. Because when someone's being kind to you and you say no, you may unintentionally break their heart. Unintentionally, you might break their heart. And that person may have, you know, put together a lot of energy and confidence to even take that step. And if you shut them down, they may not take that step again. Or they may not be able to take it for a long time. So, and also there's a hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ that tells us not to turn away gifts. That if someone invites you, man da'a ila ta'amin falyujib, right? If a person invites him to food, then he should accept it. You shouldn't turn away a person's call. But like Sheikh, like Ustad was saying, sometimes there are circumstances and you can't. Yesterday I went to drop off food at a friend's home, and he spoke to me through the camera at the front, you know, the ring thing, and he said, I can't come downstairs, drop it off. Great, no problem. Right? I you know, because it's about that person. It's not about me right now. This is not my time to shine. This is not about me flexing my emotions, what I want. It's about you. You be happy, you get through your thing. Ultimately, we keep in mind the ahadith. I mean, Ustad Murphy shared a beautiful one regarding bringing joy to a person. There's another one that comes to my mind. Man naffasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurab ad-dunya naffasa Allahu anhu kurab al-akhirah. That whoever removes from a person a difficulty in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a difficulty of the hereafter for that person. So that's one thing that comes to my mind. You know, Sheikh, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What do you say to someone? Or what would you say to people? Because I know, like, imams and... can someone block this person?
Yeah, I'm taking care of it.
Really distracted.
Yeah.
I didn't read the messages, but guys, there's no need to type in all caps.
That's his biggest problem.
He doesn't even care about what he's saying. He's like, whoa, guys, relax.
Yeah, just guys, don't type in caps. It sounds like someone's shouting, and we're all adults here. We can type in lowercase too.
Here's a more important comment that just came through. Ustad Murphy, where can I get that dopey from?
Everyone has this question. Should I tell everybody?
That's up to you, brother. I just.
Where are your tubbies from? I'm curious.
Don't worry about it.
Gosh, his comments are hilarious. But lowercase. We got the lowercase down, though.
Yeah, brother. We are. Okay, we're working on it. All right.
Hello, brother. Keep it up.
Now, Sida, please. Stay Sida, please.
Stay Sida. Sida, Sida. Here's the thing I was going to say, Sheikh. So, you know, there are people who... people look out for imams and their families, which is a good thing, right? Yeah. Because, you know, they have a relationship with them, sure. Give and take, you know, they respect these people. But how does, I gotta turn this off.
Just click on private chat.
Done. Just did it, bro.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know what's going on, there's a guy on There's a guy on
what's Periscope? What is Periscope?
It's Twitter. There's a guy on Periscope who's trolling us right now. He's pretty funny. Mufti Saab, just don't look. I'm not gonna look. He wants to look so bad. He wants to click.
Okay. So, what do you say about serving that someone who's a nobody to use that language? That's not a good thing to say. But you know, like.
That was better than that guy. See, the thing is,
this makes you such a bad person.
The thing is, I'm so happy right now that you can't click and broadcast these.
I'll go back to the other chat.
Now go back to the other comments.
So to explain to everybody what just happened, in our private chat,
Ustad, I just one-upped the guy.
Ustad was like basically mimicking and imitating a troll online, and it just made us.
I just one-upped him.
Oh, man.
I just wanted to know that even in his worst, I'm better than him. I can out-troll the troll.
Ustad says to me, don't look at that chat. Go to the private chat. I go to the private chat. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
So you were saying someone who's not worth serving, quote unquote.
There's someone who doesn't have the imam position, doesn't have any fame, just a person, a dude or a dudette, and they're going through something. How lonely do they feel when no one reaches out to them? And what do you say to people who are reaching out to keep an eye out for those people? That was like the thought.
That is, you know.
Can you also connect? Sorry to interject here. Can you also connect this potentially to the praise of Khadija radiallahu anha for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say, look, there. I feel like there is, you know, I appreciate what you said just a moment ago. And that is that, you know, a lot of times the outpour of care and consideration that will come towards imams or scholars and leaders and educators in the community. I appreciate what you said, because I almost felt like an indirect kind of like guilt because of that sometimes. But I appreciate what you said in the sense of these are also people who basically help everyone with their personal problems, you know, 7 days a week, you know, 365 a year. And if he's been your imam for 10 years, like everyone in the community, the hundreds, if not thousands of people in the community, all, you know, bring their personal problems to that person. So it's very natural. Like all those people are going to want to reciprocate. So I appreciate you saying that, because that kind of adds balance to the conversation instead of just automatically taking a turn into like, oh, well, this is elitism and you're just, you know, showing love to, you know, popular people and you don't care about anybody else. But that being said, I think there can be a balance in the conversation where you can explain why that makes sense. Why there's 100 people concerned about this one particular person, because that one person has spent the last 10 years taking care of these 100 families. So now all 100 families are showing up for that one person. But at the same time, it does highlight our weakness as a family. Mm-hmm. And it does highlight our weakness as a community, as an ummah, that somebody who once again might not be a really well-known, prominent, popular person or a leader in the community can go through something very extremely tragic and difficult, and nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody, nothing.
It reminds me of the woman who cleaned the masjid of the Prophet salt on him.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Because she literally, they performed her janazah without even telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yeah, because it was just like, let's just get the, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so upset. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam basically said that, don't do this without telling me. And he went to the grave and he prayed for her at the grave. and made dua for her at her grave. Mufti Kamani, you had said to connect it to something specific. What was that? I forget.
I was thinking of that riwayah of Khadija radiallahu anha praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes. So Badul Wahi, the beginning of revelation, famous hadith, the first chapter of Bukhari, etc., where after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives a revelation of Iqra, read, in the cave of Hira, right outside of Mecca, and he comes back home and he's shaken up by this powerful experience and the realization of the responsibility he's just been given. And when he talks to Khadija radiallahu anha, and she says, you know, you're a good person. God will not allow you to perish. He will not allow you to, you know, falter. And then she substantiates, why do I call you a good person? She explains. And she says, because you look after those who have no one to look after them. You lift up those who have, you know, fallen down and fallen through the cracks of the community. You take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Taksibul ma'adum wa tahmilul qal, right? Wa tu'inu ala nawabil haq. Any type of a situation that is a good cause, you're always there. And that's a very powerful idea that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, cared about. And was always looking out for anyone and everyone who was struggling in the community.
What do you do on the recipient end? How do you deal with that, being on the recipient end?
Oh, I actually have a really good story about this. So I when I was younger, I don't know if you guys remember Ahmed Mustafa. Do you remember him, Ahmed Mustafa?
Yeah.
When I was younger.
Ahmed Mustafa?
Yeah, Amos.
Yeah.
So we used to hang out, and he's a little bit older than I am. I think he's like maybe got 6 or 7 years on me. So when I was in college, you know, he was already young professional working. He worked at Kellogg's. So every community event we had, we used to get free cereal and free like granola bars. He would literally, I'm not joking, he would literally bring boxes, you know, those small cereal boxes, like the hotel ones. He'd bring hundreds of those boxes to every event. Like he would donate them, like Kellogg's would donate them. So like every weekend seminar, every class, every qiyam, everything would just have granola bars and cereal, which actually, by the way, is low-key pretty amazing. So I remember we used to go out and eat a lot, you know, after programs or volunteering or whatnot. And I had a job, so I never went to go eat assuming that someone was going to pay for me. Like I was like, yeah, I can take care of my bill. He would always pay for me. And I remember, you know, I would try to obviously beat him to the check, and he would always say like no, and you know, he's very funny, he's very aggressive, so he would tell the waiter or the waitress like, you know, that card is fraudulent, like don't worry, or like just take my money. So I remember being like, dude, like let me pay. And he looked at me one day and he said, I'm doing this now to you and you have to do it later to somebody.
Allah.
Like I'm working, you're in college, I'm taking care of your dinner this week. When you're working and you're with some in the community with some youngsters that don't have, they're not fully like full time and you know, whatever, it's your job to take care of their sandwiches, it's your job to take care of their pizza or their. And so I, subhanAllah, dude, that really just kind of like him passing the torch and saying like, look, what you're feeling right now, me helping out, me, you know, being generous with you, it's partially obviously for me, but it's also for you. So you will learn. And that's been something that I try to, you know, really live up to, right? So my lesson for people is like, you know, someone right now actually just sent me some food. SubhanAllah. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, what do they say? Pay it forward.
Pay it forward, yeah.
Go ahead and carry on the tradition, right? Inshallah. And I'm going to send Mufti Kamani something tonight, inshallah. Mufti Saab, do you know you live by a really good ice cream place? Do you know that?
Which one?
Handles. Have you been to Handles?
No.
Okay, I'm going to get you Handles tonight, inshallah. It is. It's kind of a bad, it's bad weather for ice cream, honestly. It's like really cold, right, Aldo? Right? It's really cold. but Handles ice cream, man, is insanely good.
Really?
Oh, very good. Sheikh, see? I peaked Sheikh's interest. Sheikh's like,
yeah.
It's only four. What time does Handles close?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a nice place here in Arlington called Mad Mike's.
Yeah, I've heard about that one.
Yeah,
I've heard about that one.
But no, you know, and it's something very interesting we all were talking about. I was sorry, distracted by that. Just making sure, Mashallah, some of the our admin people on the back end are taking care of some of the trolls.
Hopefully, inshallah, this person is okay. May Allah protect them, preserve them. But just as a reminder to everyone, guys, if you're online, don't spam. Be respectful. Yeah.
Well, the good thing is in Periscope, like his comments are only going there, so it's like,
yeah,
this is a general thing. Like, it's that kind of stuff that turns people, like, I'll be honest, like me, away from social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I actually enjoyed that Clubhouse discussion yesterday.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it because it felt like I was talking to real people. It was respectful.
Do you have an iPhone?
No,
I don't. So, I was using someone else's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, but one thing I was just going to say was this whole idea you were talking about of even like sometimes seeing the blessing and the mercy of Allah within some of the help that's being offered to you is also very interesting, right? Because I don't know. I don't mention this as one of those kind of like humble brags. It's at the point of where like it's a personal problem. My biggest fear, one of my greatest like fears in life is to just be an imposition. Maybe it's the kind of culture I grew up in or whatever, but I'm always fearful of just, you know, being an imposition on someone.
What does that mean?
To impose, like
he's got a lot to call it.
Yeah, kisi ko taklif dena, right? Like I don't want to be a burden on anybody. So always being just kind of almost like fearful of that. And then when you find yourself kind of in a little bit of a tough spot, it's really interesting and it's really beautiful. And you do see the mercy and the wisdom in, you know, these kind of relationships. And when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about accepting someone's offering, you see the wisdom in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, alhamdulillah. But, you know, Mufti Kamani just brought up the Clubhouse thing. So last night, one of the brothers on Clubhouse, he had organized kind of like an open Q&A kind of thing about Qalam and everything. And so we were on there. And Mufti Kamani, luckily, someone was at his house who has an iPhone, and then he was able to kind of connect from there. But there was an interesting idea that, you know, I even thought about it before, but somebody also suggested it, Mubarak had suggested it, that maybe kind of simultaneously being logged into Clubhouse and doing the hangout there. But the problem is we can't do it because of Mufti Sahib.
Android.
So in practicing what I just said, Ustad, I request your help with this.
No, please don't. My brother has offered me an Apple so many times. I just can't I'm not against it. I hear it's a great product. I just feel like there's a big learning curve and I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered doing it. I need to get another computer for my kids, and someone was saying get an Apple product. They said they'll never complain again. I'm daunted by the idea of having to learn it again. No. Sheikh, since mashallah,
this is our Ustad Waidla. Ustad Waidla has a suggestion.
You know, my kids actually have tablets. They actually have those Apple tablets that school gave them.
We can give them an iPod Touch.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But since Clubhouse came up, I thought that it'd be.
I'm gonna order them an iPod Touch.
But
can I say something, Sheikh, if I may?
Yeah, please.
Since we are talking about being there for one another, right? And that's what this whole session is actually about. While Sheikh continues with his advice, I wanted to tell everyone that's here right now. Now, look, guys, if you are going through something or someone in your family is going through something and you want to share it with us, you know, you're more than welcome to drop it in the chat box. You don't have to get too detailed. We'd love to make dua together. Inshallah, we'll ask Sheikh Abdul Nasser to make a communal dua. And we're all here together. We're all a family. Share as much as you want. You can keep it generic, keep it broad, keep it just general. But if anyone feels, I know that du'as go a long way. The one thing with my sister not being too well that mattered so much to us was just the fact that everyone was making du'a and it helped out so much. So if you feel that you want this family of people to come in and make du'a for you guys, feel free to drop it in, inshallah. We're here for you guys too.
Absolutely. And you know, again, we were talking about how, you know, even the little things and, you know, thinking about, you know, what else might be going on with the person, all of it, you know, is very powerful. And another thing is that when you are in a situation, then the du'as people make, and they're, you know, requesting of others to make du'a, you know, for you and for your family and whatnot, it really is very powerful and very meaningful. It's not a cliche at all. It's not just, you know, a formality. It's not a formality at all. It really means a lot. It's very, very powerful. You know, one of our students whose father, you know, in his hometown, in his village, which is very well known for having like a lot of Huffaz and Qurra, like they're people of Quran. And, you know, he sent the word that, you know, we had a khatam of Quran and dua made over there. And I was so blown away that, you know, halfway across the world, he's got one hand down and one hand up. So halfway across the world, you know, there's a masjid full of people reading Quran and making dua. And it was very humbling. It was very, very humbling. So if I could, I wanted to kind of transition, you know, I see, mashallah, you know, subhanallah, rather, excuse me, Hamza just mentioned a father of his friend is in the ICU. Subhanallah, Brother Muhammad Jahid said his father passed away very recently. Sister had messaged before that she was just diagnosed with cancer. And please know that we are taking note of, you know, the comments and the requests for du'as, and we'll definitely make du'a at the end of the program. But one thing I wanted to kind of transition to so that we can also start wrapping up, inshallah, is that idea that once you feel so overwhelmed and feel so humbled by everyone, you know, looking out for you, caring for you, doing stuff for you, showing you all this affection, the outpour of love and affection, then what can you do? Well, what can you do, and what is our responsibility now as a consequence of that? Ustaz?
Sorry, Shay, one more time. You cut out a little bit.
Yeah, sorry. I was saying that, you know, once you've benefited from this love and affection and care and consideration, now what do you do that you've benefited from that? I know the obvious is pay it forward, but if you could kind of talk about, like, how to go about that meaningfully.
So I think the first thing is, like, you know, definitely communicating to the person how much it means, like thanking them. It's something that at times can feel a little bit, you know, almost like formulaic, but like just thanking them and letting them know you don't have to make them feel uncomfortable. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think that when you thank someone for doing something good, you have to like almost talk about how unworthy you are. But Mufti Kamani brought up a really good point, which is that it's not really about you. Right. So when you thank somebody, you know, you can tell them like, I really, really appreciate it. That was really kind of you. Right, like that was so thoughtful. I'm so touched by how thoughtful you were, and then you make dua for them. That's number one. Number two, we mentioned paying it forward. Number three is that you can, if you feel, you know, like it won't, you know, give off the wrong message, you can send something back in return to somebody, right? If they're taking care, obviously, you don't want to make it like a, you know, I'm clearing my debt kind of feeling, right? But if if they sent you something, maybe you can send something back in return, like a nice card, or you could maybe wait a while until they're in need if you guys are close friends. You know, one thing that I've started to do for people, because in a lot of situations, there's not really much you can do. Some people are not in need of anything. And if you wait, then it's kind of one of those weird things, is I've actually started, you know, I've personally started to make sadaqah on this person's behalf.
Subhanallah.
I'll just let them know, like, hey guys, you know, I really appreciate what you did. And so I went ahead and in your name, I donated, you know, this to a well or to an orphanage or to a school. And I know that it's, you know, it's you know, it's small compared to what you did for me, but I hope that in the akhirah, it's, you know, it helps, or Allah brings barakah in your life for this or something. And
I got a message from Ustad a few weeks ago. May Allah reward you.
So I just, or if you remember them in your dua, let them know that when you're making dua for them, like, hey, I just remembered you in my duas. I used to get messages like that from people randomly. And man, subhanAllah, like, it meant so much. It would be like a Tuesday at like Maghrib time. And it'd be like, Assalamu alaikum Rahman. I know we haven't talked in a while, or like, I know I haven't, you know, I know it's been a couple weeks or whatever. I just want to let you know that when I was making dua right now, you came across my mind and I prayed for you and your family. And it's not about showing off, but it's about like extending, it's almost like extending like that moment and saying like, I've already prayed for you and I just want you to know that I did that, right? Yeah. So I think just some small gestures are nice. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La tahqiranna min al-ma'rufi shay'a," that don't belittle or make something lighter than it from any sort of good that you do. Don't try to take away from any good that you do. And so you don't have to like buy this. You don't have to pay this person's mortgage for the month or do something crazy. A lot of times, like Mufti Saab mentioned, like gift giving, we feel this innate pressure to like outdo ourselves. Right. Yeah. But subhanAllah, it really is the thought that counts, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, لَوْ أُهُدِيَ قُرْآنَ لَقَبِلْتُهُ, that if I were even given like a dry bone, I would accept it, right? So The idea is like, it's not really about what you're getting. It's about the fact that someone would give you something. So just try to pass on that love and that positivity back to that person in some way. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was very, very well said. And that's the thing is like, I kind of took upon myself, and even if it's very simple and humble, you know, just a salam, jazakallah khair, I really appreciate it. That means a lot. You know, something simple like that. But I tried to take it upon myself, finding, of course, you know, times where I could do that, and making sure that I responded with that, with a little voice note. Little 20-second voice note with a little message like that. And I know I don't want to make that a standard because that can be tedious in and of itself, and that can be cumbersome, especially if somebody is still, you know, dealing with a situation. I don't know. I just kind of felt like that was something I needed to do in order for, you know, my own tarbiyah, my own betterment, my own character development. But I think the way you stated it is very beautifully said.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're at the hour mark, so I'm going to go ahead and close things up, wrap things up here, inshallah. It's almost time for Asr as well. It is almost time for Asr.
The real Asr.
No. You're supposed to do something when I say that.
Well, it's not the Adhan yet.
Here it comes.
There it goes. What's so funny about that? That makes me laugh. Even when, like, sometimes I'm just sitting there and it makes me laugh. Of all books,
you know why? All my books are in boxes right now. All my books are in boxes right now at Ahad's house. And I don't have...
At least if it was Quduri, it would make sense, right?
I know, yeah. I mean, I have Quduri here, but okay, I don't have...
That makes... Because Quduri's got the mas'ala, the issue written in it. He's presenting with Sunnah.
I don't have a lot of my Hanafi books with me right now. And a lot of them are on iPad anyway. I should just get the iPad.
I also, before I kind of wrap things up, I also wanted to acknowledge one of the great joys and pleasures of bringing the Hangout back was welcoming Qari Noman back.
Oh, wow.
The comment section. We're happy to have you, Qari Noman. We missed you.
No one made us the other.
such a bad comment. Although I do take responsibility for starting that. But I wanted to kind of wrap things up. And I appreciate everyone for tuning in, spending time with us, and you know, reflecting with us. And I hope that the discussion was beneficial. Inshallah, as always, you know, we'll be here every week having good discussions and conversations. Jazakumullah khairan. And as Mufti Saab mentioned, we'll kind of close out with a little bit of dua. and you know, specifically make dua for a lot of, you know, the people that might be struggling out there. And subhanAllah, a lot of folks came in the comments today and also shared, you know, a lot of the difficulty that's out there. Of course, I would you know, really insist on Mufti Kamani and Ustad making the dua, but then it's going to turn into that hot potato game, and I don't want to subject y'all to watching that. So and Ustad is doing his best impression of Mufti Kamani. So
you missed it. It said sensor cleaning.
That's so funny, dude. Oh man. But
come back. These are my friends. Look, these are my friends. What can I say?
So let's go ahead and make a quick dua, and then we'll conclude for today, inshallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة المتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اهدنا واهدي منا وجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها واجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. Oh Allah, there are many people who are suffering, make their suffering easy for them. Oh Allah, all those who are sick, grant them health and well-being. Oh Allah, those who have lost loved ones, Oh Allah, give them peace and tranquility and strength and sabr jameel. Oh Allah, those who are dealing with loss of income, loss of property, loss of resources, Oh Allah, grant them barakah and blessing and grant them more and better than before. Oh Allah, all those who are hurting, Oh Allah, heal their hearts. Make things easier for them. Amen. And oh Allah, bring everyone together with their loved ones in the hereafter under your shade and in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh Allah, allow us to be a better community. Allow us to be better neighbors and better family members and better friends. And oh Allah, allow us to look out for one another. Oh Allah, make one another the strength that we can draw on to get through our difficult times. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khairan everyone. Barakallahu feekum. And as always, we all appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And we'll see y'all next week, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thanks.